Our sermon text this morning is Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 33. Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. And as we turn there in our Bibles, let's turn our attention to our Lord and ask that He would help us to understand and apply His Word. Heavenly Father, we do come to You this morning and we recognize that this is the Word of God. We are finite beings, and therefore we are in need of your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to understand the things that we read and to apply it in such a way that will allow us to live in a manner that is consistent with your holy will. And so, Father, we do pray that your Spirit would guide us through this, through the reading and the preaching of your word, that you would help us to be attentive, that you would look past the inadequacies of your servant, be gracious to your people, and speak into their hearts, converting the soul, changing us more and more into the image of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight in their scoffing? And fools hate knowledge. If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Oftentimes, when people talk about wisdom, they speak of it as though it can be condensed into a short, pithy saying that acts like a quick fix to problems that they face. That type of idea is a serious mistake. True wisdom. Is a matter of life and death. The wise person isn't simply someone who is able to throw out a witty statement at just the right moment. The wise person is someone who listens to God and listens eagerly to the voice of God, who believes that Jesus Christ is of greater value than anything else in all of life. That's the wise person. In fact, the wise man believes that Jesus is life itself. In the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, if you read it, you see that you are stirred up to take wisdom seriously, to drink it in so that it forms and shapes your life and your thinking, your understanding of things. And today we are warned at the peril of our own lives to take the wisdom of God very, very seriously. And so as we come to our passage this morning, this is what I want us to keep in mind as we study it together. Since life and death are at stake, pay attention when wisdom calls and follow Christ where he leads. Let me repeat that. Since life and death are at stake, pay attention when wisdom calls and follow Christ where he leads. Now, that is pretty serious stuff. And so let's turn to our text, guided by that one thought. And as we do, we see something very interesting, don't we, in the way wisdom is presented to us. We see that wisdom is personified. Look at verses 20 and 21. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. As the text opens, we're hearing someone talk about wisdom. It's not certain whether it's the father from the previous verses who's speaking, but the focus isn't really on the speaker anyways. The focus is completely on wisdom itself. And what we see is that wisdom is depicted as a person. In fact, it's spoken of as a female, isn't it? She. Wisdom cries aloud. She raises her voice. Now, we could speculate as to why wisdom is given feminine qualities, but that's all mere speculation. We really don't know. What we need to understand, though, is that wisdom is an attribute of God. Wisdom is an attribute of God. And an attribute, what is an attribute? Well, an attribute is kind of like a characteristic, but it's a little bit stronger than a characteristic. You see, a characteristic isn't actually necessary for something to be what it is. But an attribute is necessary for something to be what it is. Let me explain that. I have dark hair. At least I did. It's getting a little bit grayer here. But I had dark hair. If you shaved my head, like Keith over there. Sorry, Keith. I just happened to look over and see that. Or you dyed my hair a different color, I would still be a human being. You would have changed a characteristic of my appearance, but you would not have changed what I fundamentally am. On the other hand, if you take away my immortal soul, I cease to be human. I'm nothing more than a brute beast then. I cease to be made as a creature in the image of God. That is an attribute. Well, likewise, if God is God, he must have certain attributes. So, for instance, he must be eternal. He has always existed. He must be almighty or omnipotent, have all power to do whatever he chooses to do. And he must be wise. After all, let's think about it. A foolish God would be no God at all. In fact, Paul mocks the gods of the Greeks. They were foolish, the pagan gods. He must be wise. And so he must have wisdom. And when we speak of wisdom then in this context, in the context of our passage, it is nothing less than the Word of God coming forth. In fact, it is the Word and the wisdom of God, even as we can see it in the New Testament, personified in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the wisdom in our text that calls out in the places where life happens in this world. John 7 tells us that Jesus stood up in the crowded temple and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me." Wisdom, you see, is nothing less than God crying out to a fallen world. It is God Himself who sent His Son into this world to call people back to Himself. And God is not silent. He still speaks today. He speaks to you. He speaks to this world in which we live. Wisdom still calls to people in the streets, in the marketplaces, in the city gates. In other words, in all the hustle and bustle of life, in our businesses, in our government, God has not forsaken this world. The wisdom of God still calls out to men and women. Now, maybe this week you were watching the news and you're thinking, I didn't see much wisdom there. And there was very little. But God still speaks even into the harshest realities of our life. And what that tells us is that here, in the wisdom of God that we read about in our passage, we also see another attribute. We see the love of God. The text is very clear about the types of people to whom God is speaking. They are people that love living a complacent life towards God. They delight in rebellion and mockery towards sound wisdom and even towards God Himself. Some of them even hate the very knowledge of God, and so they deny Him completely. And yet God's wisdom cries out to them. She does not hide herself from them. Like Lady Liberty standing in New York Harbor, holding up her torch for all to see, wisdom is there for all to see. That's the love of God, crying out. It's crying out to you when you are being led astray by various temptations of the world, even as Christians are. It's crying out to you when you've grown cynical and pessimistic towards God because He hasn't answered a prayer the way you had hoped He would, or because the church isn't everything you think it should be, and your once zealous attitude becomes jaded. Wisdom still cries out. It's crying out to you, even if you are here today and you are hardened against God. You would rather be anywhere. You're here because your parents forced you to come. Or you're here, but you feel that there is little use for God in your life. Wisdom still calls. Wisdom still calls to you. And when it calls, wisdom calls for repentance. It calls for repentance. In verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. So we people are simple. We are easily led astray. We become cynical and we become mockers, even fools. And yet we are not without hope. We are not without hope. Do you see the words of wisdom? If you turn at my reproof, if you turn at my reproof, the word here turn is the word repent. It's a very old-fashioned word, isn't it? It's not real popular in our culture today. You don't hear a lot of people walking around saying, you know what I need to do today? I need to repent. People will think you lost your mind. They hear you talk like that. But it's a good word. It's a great word. Do you know what it means? It means to turn around from the way you are going and go in the opposite direction. It's synonymous with the army saying about face. Turn around. You know, this is the very first thing Jesus teaches in Mark's gospel, which we just finished a few weeks ago. Jesus cries out to a wayward Israel, repent, and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. In other words, stop following all the allurements of the world and believe the good news. The good news is that God has broken into this life. You are not abandoned. There is something better than just living for riches and man's empty praise, as the old hymn says. If you will turn when wisdom calls, wisdom will pour out its spirit upon you, our text says. Isn't this exactly what Jesus says in the New Testament? Again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, if anyone comes to me, what will happen? Out of him will flow rivers of living water. John goes on in the next verse to comment that Jesus is speaking here of the Holy Spirit. When we turn to Christ, the Spirit of God becomes active in us. He gives us understanding so that we can follow him into the world and think God's thoughts after him. When wisdom says, I will make my words known to you. What does she mean? What does she mean by that? You will become intimate with the wisdom of God. That's what she means. You will become intimate with the wisdom of God. It will sink into your bones. It will become part of who you are and what you are. You will know God's word, and it will drive your thinking. It will guide your thought processes. When our foolishness is rebuked, and we turn away from our foolishness, what do? We turn towards wisdom. We become wiser still. We grow in wisdom. But repentance, though it is a gift of God, still requires a conscious decision on our part. Understand this about your Christian life, brothers and sisters. We are never passive in our quest for wisdom. You are never passive in that. You are not a sponge. God does not pick you up one day and drop you in a bucket of wisdom so that you become wise. We have choices and decisions to make in life that affect our growth in wisdom. And in case we are not convinced of the need for repentance, we should heed then wisdom's warning of danger. Look at verse 24 through 31. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Wisdom, brothers and sisters, when you think about it, is very, very patient. Very patient. God is patient. He does not give us what our sins deserve. To his people who have grown dull and wayward, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. But you know what, brothers and sisters? That will not last forever. That will not last forever. If we will have nothing to do with God, judgment will come. And there will be no divine apology for it whatsoever. God will not say, I am sorry I have to do this. You know, sometimes when my children were young and I would have to discipline them, I would say, I'm sorry, I have to do this. God will not say that to us. There is a consequence if people ignore the counsel of God and scoff at his rebuke. Life spins out of control. It spins out of control either here or in eternity that awaits us all. Terror strikes. Calamity overwhelms. Distress and anguish grips the soul. Then they long for wisdom. Oh, then if only I had known. Now I want to change. Now I want it to be better. Now I'm ready to do something about it. They long for wisdom. They long to know a way out of their demise, but there is none. There is none. And why is there none? Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. The very foundation of wisdom, reverence to God, the fear of the Lord, lay in ruins. And ask any builder, you cannot build on a ruined foundation. And they are then without hope. And the writer gives wisdom, in my opinion, its most terrifying personification at that point. Wisdom laughs in derision at their calamity. And then it says, it will not answer. Cry out as they may, wisdom remains silent. Wisdom laughs. But this isn't a laughter of a sadist. It's the laughter of the irony of it all. Time and time and time and time and time and time again. Wisdom called. And time and time and time and time again. People viewed wisdom as utter foolishness until wisdom was proved right. And then in the midst of their trouble, the fool cries out, wait, 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 I want it now. Now, Lady Wisdom. But the door was closed a long time ago by their own choices. Did you see that in the text? Because they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They will eat the fruit that they themselves have produced over the years of their life. All their decisions will come back to haunt them. But you know what, brothers and sisters? We are still alive. That's the good news. We're sitting here today and we are still breathing. We're here in this place where God's word is preached, where hymns are being sung that proclaim the glories and the mystery of God. Wisdom is still speaking. And wisdom promises security. Look at verses 32 and 33. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. We see one last contrast between these two entities here. Between foolishness and wisdom. To refuse the wisdom of God, to be content in a life without God, this is the death knell of the simple and the fool. Brothers and sisters, hear me now. Listen to me, you young people in church. I watch this take place to someone I dearly love. And it wasn't too long ago. They saw calamity approach in their life, and they could do nothing about it. They could do nothing about it, I just said. The life they chose slipped away. all their bravado from all the years gone by faded into a godless eternity, a dark and hopeless eternity. The complacency of fools destroys them, the scripture says. And yet, in the last verse of our English translation, we are offered one small word that is so hopeful. But. It's a glorious word in the Bible. But. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Can't you hear the words of Jesus echoing behind this verse? Whoever hears my words and obeys is like the wise man who built his house upon the rock. Upon the good foundation, you see, the solid foundation. And when the storms hit and calamity struck, as it does to all of us in life, none of us escape it. That man is secure. See, he wasn't building on the shifting sands of complacency. He wasn't putting God off until tomorrow, when today wisdom was crying aloud. And because he heeded the voice of God when wisdom did cry out, he found safety in Jesus. Safety in the arms of his heavenly Father. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who thirst." See, that's the voice of wisdom. That's the voice of wisdom. Throw our lives at the mercy of Jesus. And since life and death are at stake, brothers and sisters, pay attention when wisdom calls and follow Christ where he leads. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, life apart from God is a dangerous ordeal that will end in destruction. But life with the Lord Jesus Christ is a glorious ordeal that will end in glory. In fact, it will never end, but will always have glory. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us, for those of us who are easily led astray, for those of us who have become jaded and cynical, for those of us who might be acting like fools today, change our hearts, bring us to repentance. Work in us your grace so that we would turn and we would know wisdom and that we would feed on the fruits of wisdom and grow in the grace of Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, as we come to the table of the Lord, I want us to think back on what we had just heard for a minute. And I want us to be assured of something. All of us live lives of fools at times. Isn't that good news? Well, not really. But the good news is that though we do that, we have a Savior who is more powerful than our sin, who is able to overcome the brokenness that we have brought into our own lives, who pours out his Spirit upon his people so that they might grow in wisdom and knowledge of God. When we were far away from God, when we were still sinners, St. Paul writes, Christ died for us. That is what we come to proclaim at the table. And the table is an interesting thing, because as St. Paul said, we proclaim his death until he comes when we participate in the Lord's Supper. But do you know, as we lift the bread up to our mouth and the wine up to our mouth, the bread and the wine proclaim to us Jesus Christ. They say to us, you are a sinner deserving of death, but Jesus Christ died your death, paid the penalty so that you can have life. And so as we come today, let us come and partake of the bread and partake of the wine, knowing we are partaking of Christ, and all the benefits he has given us. And let us give glory to God for that. That's why we say, if you are a member of this church or another Bible-believing church, a member in good standing, and you've been admitted to the table, come and join with us, because this is the table of the Lord Jesus Christ for all his people. But if you are not a member in good standing of a Bible-believing church, you've been suspended, or you haven't yet been admitted to the table, or you're an unbeliever, please allow the elements to pass by. But let me speak especially if you're an unbeliever. Today, wisdom cries out in the streets. Do not harden your heart as the Israelites did in the rebellion, but come to Christ. Come to Christ. Choose the fear of the Lord. And know Christ is your Savior. God is your Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this table now, giving you praise for your grace poured out upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful that we have peace with God through Christ our Savior. And so as we partake of the bread and the wine, help us then to truly recognize what it is Christ has done for us and to partake of him. Grow in us that relationship with you that you promised through Christ, filling us with your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had broken the bread, he gave it to his disciples, and he said to them, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let us together as God's people, as one people, do this together, remembering what Christ has done for us and rejoicing in it.